Important spiritual truths can be found in many common objects. The prophets of Israel used them when you read them. And the parables of Jesus are probably the most masterful use of object lessons. Every boy and girl enjoys object lessons. I know there are times through the years when I was a pastor that I would have an object lesson for the boys and girls. And every one of them, regardless of their age, just sat in great attention. We like object lessons. A basin is what we're going to look at today. A basin is a bowl-like item. The ones that I remember had white porcelain finish. The ones I remember were trimmed in red. I know there were some that were trimmed in black. If you don't believe me, go visit an antique store. 62 years ago, I had the pleasure of spending 3-4 weeks each summer for several years on the farm of family friends. Was a part-time farmer. The man drove a truck for a gravel pit during the week, and then he had several cows that he did keep, and we had fun in the hay mow, you know, running around where we didn't belong. I remember the first time I learned that a natural squirt gun is on the bottom side of a cow. Chasing each other with squirt guns, and that warm milk was awful. I come in the barn and one of the boys stopped and reloaded. That particular farmhouse, the whole length of the back of the house was a porch. And on Saturday evening, getting ready for church Sunday morning, the boys would, about 4 or 5 of us in all, we would take our Saturday bath on the back porch with a basin. I was trying to remember, did we share a basin or did we each have our own basin? I don't remember, and it really didn't matter, okay, because the dirt was only going to be off for the length of Sunday school and church, and we were going to be back out. A lot of good memories, of course, just like you have. And I'd like for us to consider 3 basins that are found in the Bible. The first was Simon's basin. If you'll turn to the book of Luke, in the New Testament, of course, the book of Luke, chapter 7. I want to read, there's a fair portion of scripture for each of these 3 basins. And Simon's basin is in Luke chapter 7. I'll begin reading at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her hair, her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Now you notice in that 39th verse, he just thought this in himself. He didn't have the courage to say it to Jesus. And Jesus answering said unto him, now this is the amazing thing with Jesus. He only thought it in his head, but Jesus called him on it.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you might just think something in your head, but Jesus knows it, and he can call you on it. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. You see, there were others there. And this Pharisee had an appearance that he had to keep up. And so he knew what he had just been thinking. And now Jesus called him on it. But he couldn't really still have the courage to say what he thought. So he says, oh, what is it, Master? Tell me. I want to know what it is you have to say. Oh, the hypocrite. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. You see, these were common things. You traveled in sandals. Today it'd be flip-flops, I know. But the ones they get down at Dollar General, I'm sure. And so they needed to not just wash their feet for cleansing, though that happened, but for refreshment somewhat, okay? And he said, it's common that you give a kiss to those you're greeting. And this would have been man to man, but this would have not been a kiss on the lips. But as you see in some cultures, you know, a kiss in each cheek or a kiss in one cheek. I don't know how many kisses you cheek, how many cheeks you get. But the point is, Simon didn't do that. These were both very common things. And then the sun beating down as it does, okay, would tend to dry the skin, so there'd be a little bit of oil that would be anointed on the head to help to soothe, the skin. And you see, we think we're so with it with the advertisements we see about all these skin care objects, you know. This is not new. But he said, you didn't do any of this. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him, I told you there were others there, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? In addition to the many different things he does, he forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now listen, it doesn't matter what your sins are, they need forgiving.
Yes, sir.
And to you, they are the greatest.
That's right.
You don't have to be the biggest sinner to love Jesus. But you do have to admit that, as did the Apostle Paul, he was the chiefest of sinners. And so, here we have things withheld. Now, you know, something that came to me while I was reading. How did this woman know how to get in this house? Now, the house was not with doors like we have necessarily today. There was likely, this is very possible, I shouldn't say likely, very possible this whole setting took place on a portico or a large porch affair, okay? But nobody chased her away when she first approached the place. Think about that. Simon didn't forbid her to come in because she was a woman of the night. I just find that interesting that she found a place there. Now you can go where you want with that, but I think it's probably pretty obvious where I think it might have gone. What about this basin? You say it doesn't mention basin. What were they going to do? Carry the water in a styrofoam cup? They used basins, folks. This is a basin of selfishness. Jesus was the invited guest of Simon, identified as a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he omitted the common courtesies of the day. He had a basin and water. It was common household items, and he did not use them for Jesus. Simon was selfish and self-centered. He did not share. He did not care about the needs of others. This woman for one, Jesus for another. Simon was extra critical of Christ. He did not love Jesus. He did not believe the teachings of Jesus. He did not feel the need for what Jesus could give. In his estimation, there was little or no personal gain for him, Simon, from this man, Jesus. Or so he thought. Had his guest been a high priest of that day's temple, or a wealthy common Pharisee with him, I can only imagine that he would have acted differently. Why? Because he was self-seeking and would have wanted to impress the high priest or the other Pharisee or businessman. Simon did in his house what so many did. They tried to trap Jesus. And many today withhold even the least. And too many withhold their best. And this is not just true of unsaved people, but even of too many Christians. Withholding their time, withholding their abilities and skills, withholding their influence, withholding their money, and all while pretending or professing to be with Jesus, as did Simon, who invited him into his home. The second basin is Pilate's basin. Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, we will begin reading at verse 15. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He was perceptive, Pilate was. He was a capable leader in that sense. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? If you want Barabbas, this vile, despicable man, released, what are we going to do with Jesus? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. It puzzled Pilate. Why would these people want Barabbas released and the good man Jesus, who did so many miraculous things for them, why would they want him released? And we know why. Because people can be manipulated. Let's make sure we are not of those who can be manipulated.
Sir.
And there's one way to do that. Now, there's many things I could say for that one way, but today I'm saying this. Think for yourself. Now, obviously, using the Bible as your guide, using the Spirit to lead you and so on, but think. Yesterday at Debbie's reception, Dale and I were talking. I don't remember what our conversation was anymore. But I remember speaking of how I like the fact that pastor thinks for himself. He doesn't just buy into whatever's coming down the religious road. He thinks it through. Okay? And then he does what he believes is best. I'm telling you that, church, because you need to be aware of that.
Right.
If this is all you know as a church, then you may not be aware of what I'm saying. Oh my goodness. So many religious things come along in fundamental circles.
That's right.
And it's in fundamental circles, therefore it must be okay. And so too many pastors buy into it. Oh, the church down the road has a bus ministry. We need to have a bus ministry. Oh, the church down the road has an Awana program. We need an Awana program. Oh, the church down the road has a radio ministry. We need a radio ministry. Oh, the church down... Good night. Pastor thinks it through. Athletes in Action is the organization that Brother Cumming next week is working through. Now, you know, I would not also normally have him. But you know what he's using? He's using the Demetrius Principle. You've all heard of the Demetrius Principle. I know you have. Third John. Demetrius hath a good report.
Good.
He also uses the Diotrephes Principle. Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. That's the guy you give the X to. That's the one you don't, you know, whether in the church or out of the church, you don't pay attention to a Diotrephes because they're just going to be trouble. But Demetrius, he hath good report. So the brother coming next week hath a good report. And I was there at the meeting where he met him, and he did indeed have the witness of the Spirit on his ministry. And I'll tell you, anybody that gets into college campuses today and brings people to Christ is accomplishing something that's worth paying attention to. Where were we now? I'm in chapter 27. Yeah, well, we know that. You just forgot. So when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, rather a tumult was made. Aha, there's the motivation. He was afraid of the public unrest. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Pilate's lack of moral courage is what caused him to not go by his own convictions. His basin and water was not of any benefit to remove the guilt of his decision. Each sinner, and that includes every person, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Each sinner from the beginning of time until the end of time shared in the guilt of crucifying Christ.
Yes, sir.
One of the motivations for the Holocaust was that the Jews crucified Christ, and in a twisted distortion of Christianity, they somehow felt justified in killing the Jews because, after all, they killed Jesus. No, it was that particular mob that stood there, manipulated by a few, that called for the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. But it was the sins of your life.
That's right.
That put him to the cross.
Yes, sir.
Water cannot remove the guilt of sin. Not the water of a basin. And listen to me. Not the water of baptism. Whether as an infant, a youth, or an adult. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then the third basin is Jesus' basin. I'm going to John. John chapter 13. I'll read the first five verses. John 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. This is a sacred scene, if you can make a mental picture and image of it. It's recorded only in the Gospel of John. Jesus and the 12 apostles gathered in that upper room, and he was there to observe the Passover with them. This was the night before he would be crucified. The Lamb of God, which could and would take away the sin of the world, recorded in chapter 1 of this same gospel. Jesus used a basin to teach a ministry, to teach a service. That's what ministry means, service. A service of love, of sacrifice, of humility. He even washed the feet of his betrayer. We have trouble just getting along with somebody we don't like. Can you imagine what it would be like if you knew somebody was going to betray you and to the extent it would cause your death? Jesus knew it. You say, well, that's Jesus. He's God. No, he's man.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's fully God and fully man, and fully man would have had the same reactions that you and I had, but he, without sin, was able to not allow that to be in his life. Oh my. Look at verse 12 to 17. Because he explained what he did and what it would mean to his followers. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? He asked them, you know what I've done? You know what this was all about? You know, now he asked that question because it's obvious that there's a likelihood that they didn't. See, we read it and it's part of what we read so much. You know, we figure, well, they knew. No, they didn't know what was going on. And so don't, quit this pitying of ourselves when we don't know what's going on in our lives. And I just don't understand what God's doing. I'll just deal with it, will you?
That's right. Amen.
You think you're the biggest one in the world? You're just one amongst many. Here's the good hope. God cares.
Sure does.
For the one among the many.
That's right.
That means he cares for you. Well, did you call me master and Lord? He said, now this is a good thing to say, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Hey, if Jesus would do this for even his betrayer, it's not too much to expect that we would serve each other.
Amen.
Well, there are some people I don't mind doing things for. But I'm not doing them for him. I'm not doing it for her. Do you know 5 years ago what they said to me? They looked at me cross-eyed 5 years ago, and I'm sure what it meant. And they moved on with their life. They don't even remember. Right. And you're hung up on something. Now listen. Listen, if the master will do this for even his betrayer, we need to do it for each other. Do what? Love, sacrifice, serve. That's what the basin of Jesus stands for.
Amen.
Simon's selfishness. Pilate's guilt. Jesus, love, sacrifice, service. Now ask a question. Which is your basin? Which do you choose? If you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, there is only one that you can choose. Which one you choose reveals your true relationship to Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, but by your grace working in us, will we be able to be what you would have us to be, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Pastor, if you would take Paul's word.